All right, well, up next is Magdalena Panceres, and you are a visiting scientist at the USDA site in Wooster, Ohio.
Sure. Yeah.
And Magdalena is going to talk about pH buffering capacity of pine bark substrates.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Proper pH is very important in successful nursery production. pH itself affects plant growth directly as well as indirectly, modifying the nutrients availability. When we look at pH buffering capacity definition, the chemical one, it says to us that it's the amount of strong acid or base that we have to add to our system to change pH by one. But the more important information that comes to us from that definition is that pH buffering capacity, in fact, it's nothing more but resistance of the system, so in our case, substrate, to changes when we apply acids or bases. But where do these acids and bases are coming from? From one side, we have fertilizers, which act like acids. On the other hand, we have irrigation water, which usually contains a lot of calcium, so it acts like a base. So far, we still don't understand too well why during cultivation, sometimes pH is increasing and sometimes it decreases. This is standard pine bark substrate that is used in cultivation. So, particle size is very diverse. We have very fine particles as well as big chunks. There is strong interest to screen the pine bark on different fractions and put attention especially on the finest one as heat replacement. So our objective was to assess pH buffering capacity of different pine bark substrates. Here we have different pine bark substrates according to different particle size. They are screened commercially and sell under different products. And among these substrates delivered by our suppliers, we decided to select three to our trial. So first one was coarse pine bark, then medium and fine pine bark in compared to regular peat moss. Methods that we have used are very simple. We decided to use 1-to-1 volumetric ratio of our substrates and solutions that we apply. So we have used equivalent of 100 mL of each substrate, and we have added 100 mL of acid or base solutions. Our solutions were made on the base of deionized water, which was our control, and we have used HCl and NaOH to prepare solutions ranging from 50 milliequivalents to 0. And after mixing our substrates with solutions, we placed the jars on stirring table. Stirring was for 10 minutes. We repeated that stirring after 24 hours, and measurements were made immediately to prepare pH buffering curve. These were the jars that we have used. They were with lids and placed directly on a stirring table. On this chart, we have our acid and bases solutions. So on the left, acids, on the right, bases. And on y-axis, we have pH of our solutions. Basic solution is this red line. So clear solutions that we have prepared on the base of the ionized water. Blue line is curved for peat moss, and green lines are for three different fractions of pine bark that we have used. The greatest distance between this curve, solution curve, and our tested substrates is the greatest pH buffering capacity. So from this diagram, we can see that all substrates have better pH buffering capacity to bases than acids. And in fact, they were not so diverse as we expected. So we've decided to see what is the particle size distribution in these pine bark substrates we received. I'm very sorry, but just numbers disappeared. On this axis, we have sieve size. It starts from 10, so this dust fraction, to 12 millimeters, and we have weight. And here we have a weight of each fraction. So once we saw this the chart, we realized that all samples differ, in fact, only in this part, so the biggest fraction. But pine fraction is very similar. So we decided to prepare our own well-known size particle samples. We selected peat and bark. We screened them, and we have used 2.8 millimeter, 0.71, and 0.18 millimeter fraction. Methods used the same as previously. On this chart, I found a little mistake. It's not peat moss. This time it's pine bark. So again, our acid and bases solution and pH. So in fact, when we talk about different size particles of bark, there were not too big differences. But again, better pH buffering capacity when we talk about bases. And peat moss, not bark, peat moss. Differences were a little slightly bigger, but still not so big as we had expected among different size particles. On the next three charts, we have the same data, but this time comparing the same fraction, but of both substrates. So what we can see that bark, especially when we talk about acid solutions, have better pH buffering capacity than peat moss, this 0.18 millimeter fraction. Bigger fraction, 0.71, similar. Bark, slightly better pH buffering capacity for acids, but lower on bases. The biggest fraction, 2.8, again, better pH buffering capacity for acids than peat moss itself. So our two basic conclusions from this trial are pine bark substrates differ slightly among each other and tended to have higher pH buffering capacity too in compared to peat moss. And second conclusion is that both substrates, so pine bark and peat moss, tended to have higher buffering capacity for bases than acids. Thank you. Any questions?
We have time for questions.
Yes.
Was there any difference between the three fractions of peat? They looked very similar. I saw the bark shifting, but I
well,
didn't.
In fact, this is peat moss and this is bark. So, in fact, both substrates differ very, very slightly.
Okay.
In peat moss, these differences were a little bit bigger than in bark. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I apologize. You presented it, I missed it.
Yes.
I really liked how simplistic your method was for basically a titration curve. Was there another reason other than simplicity to not use a titrator?
James?
Time. We measured these changes over time first, and you titrations are like, you know, within minutes. It takes days for these. I mean, not day, what did we figure, 24 hours?
Yes, 24 hours, because we have made... At the very beginning, we started with measuring pH every 12 hours to see how these changes occur during the time. And what we found that the best time to measure pH is after 24 hours. Because after that time, for example, after 36 or 72 hours, differences are very slight in compared to measurement after 24 hours. So we decided that this is the best interval.
An hour and a half. But that's clearly not long enough.
All right, well, thank you, Magdalene.